Do you know that on Sunday, the Sabbath, right? It said that God rested, right? On the seventh day. Well, you know, the Hebrew word for that which says rested is also translated celebrate. So, because if you think about it, do you think God needed to rest? Do you think he was tired and wore out? I don't think so. I think it was he celebrated. So Sabbath day is a day of celebration. Every time we gather together should be a day of celebration here on the Sabbath. That's what I say. It's a day of rest? No, it's a day of celebrating. It's a day of celebrating. That's what we got to look at it from that perspective. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Well, like I say, we're going to stay with decreeing. With decreeing. So, decreeing, we stood our Job 22:28. You will also decree a thing, and it will be established for you. So the light of God's favor will shine on your ways. When we decree, declare, or make proclamations, we are prophesying. Prophesying is more than foretelling, predicting the future. It is also foretelling, speaking forth the plans and will of God for the present and future. This is still classified biblically as prophetic because of the discernment required for us to know his plans and will. John the Baptist was called a prophet. Yet as far as we know, he did no foretelling or predicting future events. He did, however, discern the times and speak forth what God was saying about the presence. What was he doing? He was proclaiming, he was announcing, and he was declaring. The kingdom of God is at hand. He was announcing it. There were those who were paying attention because they got baptized. That was what he was to do, to prepare the way. So accordingly, this foretelling aspect of the prophetic is also referred to as prophetic intercession. Oh, you're going to like this, brother. Prophetic intercession is revelatory prayer. These are God-directed prayers, not preaching or exhortation. They are inspired by God and directed back to Him. They make it possible for us to pray effectively and accordingly to God's will. See, on our own, we cannot come up with prayers that hit the mark so accurately. Since these prayers are inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, they express the desires of His heart back to Him. Often they express more than we could have understood in the natural about a given matter. Intercessory prayer is very important for believers.
Amen.
Hey, I got one. Woo, yeah. We're working on it. We're working on it. God's sitting there saying, man, I know I don't have bad hearing. He wants to hear your voices. He wants to know that you're getting it. He just wants you to agree with it. And it's the Word. That's what He wants you to be in agreement with. His Word. Hallelujah. When we gather together for intercessory prayer, in agreement, in one accord, it results in something called synergy. Synergy. Synergy is the interaction of elements that, when combined, produce a total effect that is greater than the sum of the individual elements. The greater the number, the greater the power. And then we got synergism. That is the doctrine that the human will cooperates with the Holy Spirit in the work of regeneration. Regeneration. An act or the process of regenerating is, one, the state of being regenerated. You know, like the spiritual renewal, spiritual restoration, and spiritual revival. You know what's happening right now? Revival. The prayers of many intercessors have been seeing multitudes get saved by the tent crusades that are growing and growing in this nation. Takes intercessory prayer. Mario Murillo, the great, I'm calling him, he's a great evangelist as far as I'm concerned. That man has an anointing upon him to do what he's doing. He gets up there, he lets the Holy Ghost take over in him, and they come down there by the hundreds, 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 till there's thousands standing in front of him. He just had an awesome one in Colorado Springs. And actually, if you've seen it, when they showed it, there was a double rainbow over top of the tent and everything. God, that is what the rainbow represents. God. When we come together for intercessory prayer, there is power. And it's called Holy Spirit power. I like these songs. I like the words that went out from everybody this morning because it lined up with this message. Joshua 23:10, the New American Bible. One of you puts to flight 1,000 because it is the Lord your God himself who fights for you as he promised you. You are not fighting alone. And remember, the battle belongs to the Lord. But in Deuteronomy 32:30 says, we are told this, that one can put 1,000 to flight and two can put 10,000 to flight. In Ecclesiastes 4:9, two are better than one because they have a good, more satisfying reward for their labor. You get somebody to be in agreement with you, there's a lot more power in that prayer. And then the more you get together with, and they are in agreement with the prayer, the more power it has. Amen. Amen. Here, I'll even take you back to Leviticus. Here's one from Leviticus. It says, you will chase your enemies, and they shall fall by the sword before you. Five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. Your enemies shall fall by the sword before you. If you look at that one right there, and these are all to show you that combination of that power. But this scripture is telling us, even at odds of 100-1, we will be victorious over our enemies in Jesus' name. 100-1 odds. Do the math. God is with us. God is for us. And if God is with us, who can stand against us? No one. Intercession and speaking decrees will work together for us. It will lead to legislating from the heavens. All of this working together becomes kingly intercession made by the ecclesia, the legislative body of our King, King Jesus, ruling for him on earth as he has purposed. It is kingdom authority releasing kingdom power, just as Jesus instructed us to do. Your kingdom come, Lord. Your will be done, Lord, on earth as it is in heaven. We are an army of intercessors moving in unity, speaking decrees in kingly intercession. We can and should realize this type of intercession over our nation and the world, and over our private world. You know, we live in our own little private world. We do it for individuals, our family, business, right? Our church, our city. So you put your foot on the head of the devil. And by that, you know, when I say that, you know what he's talking about? His authority. Jesus stripped him of his authority. I beg, but he still has his power. Satan still has his power. But he has no authority to use that power unless we permit him to. See, because in the garden, when Adam gave away the authority, that's what he did. He gave the authority away. Jesus went back and took that authority back off him, because that authority was supposed to be for us. We were supposed to have dominion. We were supposed to have dominion over everything. But no, we turned that authority over to the power of Satan. Now, Satan's still here. He's got the power, but he no longer has the authority. Jesus stripped him of his authority. You got to remember that's a key thing. He doesn't have the authority. You do, because Jesus gave it back to us. He got that authority back for us. We're to have dominion. Amen? What are decrees and declarations and proclamations? A decree is an official order, edict, or decision. Decree can also mean an order, decide, or officially appoint a group or person to accomplish something. A decree is linked with setting apart or ordaining something or someone. A declaration is an announcement, a formal statement. This statement is what a plaintiff sometimes releases in his complaint, which results in a court action. Am I right? I put to my lawyer. Friend? Yep. But let me point out one other thing. Declaration of independence. It's what they did. They listed it all. And I think they won. A proclamation actually brings something into a more official realm. A proclamation can ban, outlaw, or restrict. This is linked with the process of Matthew 16:19, the binding and loosening, where Jesus said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And Vicki, here we are again. Words. It's words. Words in general are amazing. In the letter of James, in chapter 3, well, verse 10 says, out of the same mouth come forth blessing and cursings. These things my brother, ought not to be so. They should not. But he also, in here in chapter 3, he compares the power of words to a forest fire, a fountain of life, a world of iniquity, and deadly poison. That's some strong words about the power of words. Would you not agree? Job 6:25, it says, how forceful are right words. Now, I'm going to take that and turn something right there for you, because I think what you're thinking of is the power of your words, which is also true. But I want you to listen to this. The Hebrew word for forceful is morat. And it's M-O-R-A-T, but it's pronounced M-A-W, morat, R-A-T. Meaning to press. Surely, listen up. One of its biblical uses describes a king pressing his seal of authority onto a decree or legal document with his signet ring, making it legally binding, the law of the land. Words seal deals and decree laws. They are powerful even unto life and death. We know that because Proverbs 18, 20 and 21 tells us that. A man's moral self shall be filled with the fruit of his mouth and with the consequences of his words. He must be satisfied, whether good or evil. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. They who indulge in it shall eat the fruit of it, for death or life. Oh, we can't leave out Matthew 12:37. For by your words you will be justified and acquitted. By your words you will be condemned and sentenced. That's why lawyers tell their clients to shut their mouths, don't they? Because they don't know when to shut it up or zip it up. Amen. Wars are started by words. Love is communicated through words. Instructions and education are shared by words. Deception and confusion are propagated with words. Kingdoms are built with words. People are controlled by words. And not just by others, but themselves. Yeah, zip it, folks. You've got to watch what you say over yourself, because you are being controlled by the words of your mouth. Lives are shattered and healed through words. Worlds are created by words. The earth was, and so is our personal world. The last one, though, you got to listen to that. And I think it's pretty heavy. So is our personal world. Worlds are created by words. And it's true. Words may very well be the most powerful conduit of authority and power in the world. God's three words, let there be. God created everything, the world and everything in it, by words. Let there be. Three simple words spoken in faith. In Ecclesiastes 12:11, the words of the wise our gods, G-O-A-D-S, gods. It's pronounced G-O-W-D-Z, gods, okay. And as fast as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies. Let me read that part again. As nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. We have one shepherd. Nails help us build, construct, assemble, and hold things together. So do words. The master craftsman, Jesus, used them to build the earth, the seas, the mountains, and all the other amazing elements and dimensions of creation. Hebrews 1:3 tells us, He holds it all together by the power of His words and decrees. Luke's gospel says that even the incarnation, God becoming human, was caused by a combination of God's words and spirit. In Luke 1:35, when Mary asked how she, a virgin, could have a child, the angel informed her that the power of the Holy Spirit would overshadow her and impregnate her with Jesus. Then you drop down to verse 37, and it said, nothing will be impossible with God. But see, that translation doesn't do justice to the strength of what the angel actually said. The most literal and accurate translation or rendering is, no word spoken by God is without power. No word spoken by God is without power. You think about that for a second. What a claim this is. And what a something or other. But it carries so much for us. The ramifications that come upon that as it comes forth from us. Our all-powerful God infuses transcendent power into His words. They become the carriers of His awesome strength. In the Scriptures, God issues numerous decrees and declarations. Believe me, you can find there's several in here, as we read with Daniel, the decrees that were made there. Spiro Zodhates. Yeah, I got that one right. He's a Greek-American Bible scholar, author, and ministry innovator. And he says the Ten Commandments are actually ten declarations. Real simple. They are not suggestions. No. That are not suggestions. When God issues a command or decree, it is earth's law. So to violate one is rebellion against His authority and invites certain judgment. God also calls His word a sword, which He rules and judges. His declarations not only create and build, but they also judge and destroy. They are both constructive and destructive. So that being said, I'll give you this here to consider. Revelations chapter 1, verse 16 says, He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And then you go to chapter 2, verse 16. Repent, therefore, or else I will come to you quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Revelations 19, 15, and 21. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress and the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And the rest were killed with a sword which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse. You talk about destruction, we've been warned. But let's get back to where we're at here, get back to a happier thing. Isaiah 46, verses 9 and 10. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. God never does anything without purpose or intent. Since he knows the end from the beginning, he never has to ad lib or to figure things out as he moves along. We'll never find him saying he's trying to come up with a plan for us. Rather, we will find him saying, I know the plans that I have for you, to give you a future and a hope. He starts with purpose, the end results, and backs up to design, which is the way some things must be made in order to fulfill his desired purpose. The prophet Isaiah actually speaks of God declaring the end from the beginning. So in that scripture, the word end is the same Hebrew word as future in Jeremiah 29:11. And at times it is also translated destiny. God knows and declares from the beginning what the end, future, destiny, and purpose of a person or thing will be. God is awesome. He stands outside of time and looks ahead, declares the future, and eventually time catches up with his decrees. How many have read Dutch Sheets' Give Him 15 podcast, July 15th, 2022? I got one. I even told you to look it up. So you didn't, and I figured that. So I'm going to read it to you here. It's about the phrase that we've been decreeing, that America shall be saved. And the title of this was called The Verdict Has Been Rendered. But Dutch starts out, he says, the first time I recall hearing the phrase, it was a quote from Reinhard Bonnke. Bonnke was a German-American evangelist, principally known for his crusades throughout Africa. Millions of people, I looked it up, try 77 million, came to Christ in his meetings, which were marked by great miracles. Now, let me tell you something else. It was prophesied over him that at one meeting alone that he was going to save over 1 million people. At the time when he was starting out, and someone who said that to him, and he said, "That was a pretty good meeting." He just said, okay, he agreed with it. You know, it's recorded at one meeting, and this was years later, he had 1.3 million saved. One tent meeting. Can you imagine a mass of people? Later in his ministry, Bonnke became very burdened for America. And in 2013, he made the following statement. This is Reinhard Bonnke. He says, "God spoke to me that the time has come for a mighty wave of salvation to sweep the U.S. from city to city, from state to state, and from coast to coast." He says, "I've seen God shake whole nations in Africa. Nations I thought God had given up on suddenly were in the grip of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then I came to the only conclusion one can come to. I have turned into an incredible believer that God can do the same in America that I've seen done in Africa. I've seen it, I've experienced it, I have witnessed by the millions that this is the truth. And I will not join the choir of the prophets of doom and gloom. This day is the day of salvation." Then in February, Bonnke proclaimed, at a two-day meeting in his then hometown of Vero Beach, Florida, "America shall be saved." What's happening today? And we're reinforcing that decree by "America will be saved." And we see what's happening. They can see the revival that's broke out in this nation. You don't hear the mainstream media putting it out, do you? You don't hear anything about these great crusades that are happening. But they're happening. In fact, Mario's got to get a bigger tent. Do you remember how big a tent he's got to get now? It's just unbelievable. I think he's... Yeah, it is. And even Reinhard Bonnke's, the tents that he had held tens of thousands under a tent. And it took trucks and trucks and trucks to move it. And God made sure that he had the finances to do it. He brought other ministries over. They joined up with him and they were putting money out for that. And look at the reward, $77 million. Awesome. Awesome. Well, I want us to understand and to see what happens when time catches up with the decree God makes concerning the future. What does he do at this point? He involves us in the fulfillment. We become the voice of God in the earth, decreeing his decrees for him. Job 22:28, "You will also decree a thing, and it will be established for you, and the light of God's favor will shine upon your paths." The first part should be more literally rendered, "You will decree a decree." We discern God's will and decree what he has determined about a given situation and decree his decree. The verse then says that when we decree the decree, it will be established. This is the Hebrew word qom, which means to rise. God's word is seed, and when we sow it into a situation, we are sprinkling the seeds through which he causes his will to spring up. Qom also describes a variety of other activities, including God's creative, saving, and judging actions rising up. Our decreeing the Lord's word releases his creativity, his salvation, and yes, his judgments. Silence is not golden, church. The power of God's inspired words is extraordinary. All scripture is God-breathed. Don't just listen to God's word. We must do what it says. The word of God is alive and powerful. The word of God is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword. God's word is a lamp to guide us. God's word has the power to save our soul. God's word has the power to change lives, our lives. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He sent his word and healed us. He sent his word and delivered us from destruction. His word fulfills what he sent it out to accomplish. Words. His word. He rules through words. And we are to do the same. And we must. In fact, we will never truly rule our world until we learn the force of words. We are part of God's government on the earth, and he desires to decree his will and purpose through us. We are members of his church, the ecclesia, and as such, we have authority. And we have authority to insist on his will and stop the plans of hell. And that's why we say, your kingdom come, Lord. Your will be done. See, that's what it's about. His kingdom and his will to be done here on this earth. So let us decree together. You ready for this? We decree that America shall once again have a God-honoring person as our president and a Congress led by a majority who love God and his ways. And we declare America will be saved. Amen? Amen. Thank you. Thank you. There is so much on decreeing that that's why I just couldn't leave it alone yet. And we'll see where God leads for next Sunday, but decreeing is very important for us, especially when we're decreeing God's word. Because when we decree God's word, we're decreeing what he has said, and that's what starts to make it come to pass. The same as when Daniel prayed and got a revelation that the 70 weeks were up, they were coming up soon. He prayed, God it to him, and then he started praying about it and declaring it. He started taking it to a level of kingly intercession, folks. Amen?